Thank you. Amen. Amen. I want to say again how good it is to see everybody here in the church this morning. Before the kids go downstairs, I do want to make a presentation, and I've said it before, but I want to say it again. Sister Ariana just got back from camp this week and had a fantastic time, but a couple weeks ago, we had another young man here at our church that went to camp, and I'm excited that he went to camp, and I want all of our kids to go to camp because there's something special that happens. And something special happened for Brother RJ. He received the Holy Ghost at camp this year. So, all of you that know RJ, he's acting like he's shy. He's the opposite of shy, but I'm going to make him come up front. So when he comes up here, I want everyone, stare at him. Stare directly at him as we give him his Holy Ghost certificate. Turn around. What are you doing? Congratulations. Here. Smile for the camera. You can be seated this morning. There's something that happens when you get connected with people. I want to say personally thank you to those that have helped set up, organize, and run our modesty closet. A lot of times we look at things that we do in ministry and we look for immediate results, and that's not the way that God works, but we are doing something in this church and I'm excited about it. If you want to work in this church, there's something that you can do. There's a place here for you to do something for the kingdom of God. So thank you to all this. I'm going to need a volunteer here in just a minute. It's not anything. I just want you to pass something out. Tonight. At 5 o'clock. So tonight, is our link group that we have combined with our Conneaut and Jefferson campus, and that will be at the Jefferson campus. The address for that's 5348 Peck Road under their pavilion. Listen, if you're struggling just mentally, you need a night where you don't want to cook, you need a night where you just need to talk to somebody and get out of the house, this is it. Faith, food, family, fun, fellowship, all those things. If you're coming, just bring a dessert, bring a dish, come have a good time, talk to some people like we've been talking about in Bible study. Be intentional in your fellowship. Approach somebody and talk to them. That is tonight. Everyone is invited and everyone is strongly encouraged to go. My wife and I will be there. My wife made a huge bowl of tortelloni salad that I'm hoping you guys don't eat it all. So leave some, please, so I can have some when I get home. Because if not, I'm going to sneak it before we go to link group like I do with other stuff. But that's for everybody. Please know that you're welcome to go. This I want to announce before the kids go downstairs. Next week, so a week from today, we are hosting our very first Friends and Family Day here at the church. It's a very simple concept. We're going to start at 10 o'clock in the morning, and we're going to have fellowship like we do every Sunday. It's free. There's coffee. There's donuts. If you were here this morning, there was birthday cake, German chocolate cake. If you are lacking sugar, come to this church because we have it. We've got the sugar you need and the spice that you want. That's free to everybody. At 10:30, we will have our normal service. We will have stuff for the kids to do, stuff for the adults. I will, again, like I did last week for Father's Day, I will shorten the service. I will not preach a full message like I normally do because immediately following the service, we are going to go from here to the main pavilion at Lakeshore Park. Now, this is all weather permitting, but if the weather is uncooperative next Sunday, we are still going to have fellowship here at the church because everybody will have already brought their food and those things. Please, listen, I want everybody here under the sound of my voice not only to come next week, I want you to bring one or two people with you. I'm being serious. It's time for us to connect our friends and family to the same life source that we have. It would do my heart good. I said this in Bible study. I'll say it again. The church is going to order the main food. We're going to order the main ingredients of the dishes. We'll have you bring some shareable casseroles, desserts, those types of things so that we can have. And this church does a great job. We always have plenty. But bring all your food, your drinks. Bring a change of clothes. If the kids want to swim in Lake Erie, it's right there. If you want to swim in Lake Erie, I might swim in Lake Erie. Who knows what could happen? There's disc golf, there's walking trails, there's wildlife. More importantly than all that, there's brothers and sisters that want to connect with you. So come, have a conversation, sit down, get something to eat, and most importantly, bring your whole family with you. I'm being serious. It's free. If this is your sales pitch, you don't even have to come to church, come to the picnic. I'm perfectly okay with that. Who in here could not use another smile on your face? Who in here at the end of the week could not use someone saying, you know what, you look pretty today? Life is hard. When we get a chance to not make it as hard, I want everybody. So everybody raise your hand. Everybody, you're the ones I want. And you're the ones I want you to bring your friends and your family. If they've never been here before, perfect. They don't know we're crazy yet. They'll find out next Sunday. Come and have a good time. Come with a smile on your face. I want everybody here right now. Show me every tooth you have. If you got ones missing, don't worry about it. That's just more room to put food in there. But I want everybody to come to that. That is next week. July the 5th, Sunday, our first, not our final, but it's our first Friends and Family Day. This church could grow. This church could be full to capacity next Sunday if we simply invite our friends and our family. No expensive, difficult outreach. Call your friends and family. I think my mother-in-law is coming next week. That's a miracle because my mother-in-law doesn't even like me. And my father-in-law likes me less, and I think he's coming. I've invited my children to come. I've invited my family to come. I've invited my boss to come. My broker was here at the church Monday night. She called me. She said, where were you? I just dropped a bunch of clothes off for your clothing giveaway. I was like, I wish you would have called me and told me. I'd have came and gave you the grand tour. She said, next time you can give me the grand tour. I said, the next time is Sunday for our Friends and Family Day. It wouldn't surprise me to see half of our real estate agents show up here at the church. It's time for the church to be the church. And let's be the church next Sunday. In addition to that, I do want to announce nothing big other than keep in mind August 1st, that is a Saturday, is the trip that the church will be taking to Waldemere. So keep that in mind. We do have vans available if that's the route everybody wants to take. We could meet here at the church and drive the van so not everybody has to drive. Let me know what everybody wants to do and we can get that organized. But that will be August 1st, Saturday. The park with the rides is open from noon to 9. The water park side is open 11 to 7, so plan accordingly that way as well. We will be taking a picnic lunch. You don't need to provide anything, but if you're the kind of person that wants to try every concession stand in the park, you will need to bring credit card or debit card. They are a cashless park. You cannot spend cash there, so just keep that in mind. But we'll talk about that more as we get closer. The children and the teachers that are going downstairs, you are dismissed at this time. Have a great children's church. Eat a couple more pieces of cake before you go down. Sister Katie doesn't like kids without energy. She likes energetic children. So take the donuts downstairs. Can I get a volunteer? If we need to make more of these, we can make copies in my office. I did this with Bible Study Wednesday. I think I may start doing it on lessons when I use a lot of scripture. This is just the scripture texts that I'm going to use this morning in our lesson, and I do want to be aware of time. Thank you all for being here. The thought for this lesson comes from a simple question that I get asked all the time, and I'm sure many of you get asked this as well. If we need more copies, we can easily make copies. There's a lot of scripture. That's why I made these copies for you. You can follow along. All the scriptures will be on the monitor so that you'll be able to follow along. I'm actually going to read off the monitors today rather than searching through my Bible to save time. But what I'm going to do today, and what I want to do, and I think is very important, I'm going to read my first scripture in your hearing. You can stay seated. I appreciate your respect for the Word of God, but let's get into the Word of God. John, the Gospel of St. John, chapter 7, verses 37 and 38 say this. It says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. I'm going to read that in your hearing one more time. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and he cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. I want to talk to you today, and this will probably be a little bit more Bible study-ish type than it will be preaching, but I want us to understand something, and you can take these scriptures with you. I get asked this question all the time. We're kind of on the next step in our Bible study, but have anyone ever been asked this question? What must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? We are going to discuss it from beginning to end, but we're going to do it by this sermon title, as the scripture hath said. Many of us know a lot of things that we've heard, that we've read, that we've been taught, and some of the things that we believe sometimes either do or they don't line up with what the scripture says. Jesus said specifically in this passage, he said, he that believeth on me as the scripture hath said. So let's talk about it. Let's start from the very beginning. Salvation begins, I'm turning my phone off so it doesn't go off. Salvation begins with an awareness of our own sinfulness. Turn with me to Romans chapter 3. And like I said, we're going to move very quickly. You don't have to use your Bibles this morning unless you want to, because these scriptures, they're in order on that sheet, and we're going to go down through them. It says, as is it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says that it is written, there is none righteous. That means everybody in here that's righteous, raise your hand. Excellent. You're on the right page. There is none righteous. No, not one. Turn with me quickly. Romans 3 and 23. It says this, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, let's see by a showing of hands, who in here has sinned? All have sinned. If you've breathed oxygen, if you were born of woman, you were born a sinner, and you have sinned. How many have sinned a lot? How many enjoyed sinning? How many enjoy lying? The Bible says the pleasures of sin endure but for a season. All have sinned. Every person. So take the person in the world that you have the most respect for, the most faith in, the most trust in. That person has sinned. They were born a sinner because the scripture says all have sinned. And salvation begins with an awareness of that sin. You can't ever be saved if you don't first understand that you need to be saved. And you need to be saved because you've sinned. Here's the problem with sin. Because if everyone says, well, what's the big deal with sin? Let's read Psalm 7 and 11. God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. Ugh. That's not good. Because we just raised our hand, We've all sinned. We were born in sin. Some of us were honest and said we kind of liked sinning. And now we find out if we do that, God is angry with us every day. Who in here likes God to be angry at you? I don't. I want him on my side. I need him on my side because I sin. And when I sin, I go to him for forgiveness. But when I do wickedness, he's angry with me every day. So then how is salvation possible? How do we get saved from that sin? We're all in sin. We know that God's angry with us because we're in that sin. So how do we get to salvation? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul writes, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein you stand." The gospel simply means the good news. It's the good news. Verse 2, it says, "But which by which also ye are saved by the gospel, if ye keep in memory that I preached unto you, unless you had believed in vain." We can just keep growing, Brother Carl. Verse 3, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received." I delivered to you what I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. Remember, this is as the Scripture said. And then he was buried, and he rose the third day according to the Scripture. Jesus' life, Jesus' death, and Jesus' resurrection were all prophesied hundreds and thousands of years before it happened. And Jesus' life, if you study it, and his death, and his resurrection, all happened according to Scripture. I'm here to tell you something, and we don't understand it. We come up against things in life, and we think we're the first person to face it, and we're going through a unique problem, or we have a sickness, or we've got something going on in our families, and we think that somehow God is punishing us, or we're the only human being to ever go through this. It's not true. Everything you will ever face, everything you've already faced, everything you're currently facing, the answer is found in this book, according to the Scriptures, as the Scripture says. But in 1 Corinthians, we learn that the gospel, the good news, is the way that Paul preached salvation from these sins. And what's the good news? It's simple. It's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He just said, we all know according to the Scripture that Jesus died. We saw him. We literally laid out, we walked with him. And we know because we were there the day he died. We know that he rose again because we saw him. We know that he was buried in the tomb because we were there. And we know that he came out of the tomb because after his resurrection, we saw him. And the men of God that were alive at that time died the death of martyrs, proclaiming the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's the good news. God made himself a sacrifice. He came to this earth. He lived. He died. He was buried. And he resurrected. Everybody say that with me. That is the good news. That's the gospel. Now turn with me to Romans 1 and 16. Speaking of the gospel or the good news, it says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel." This is what happens in the church world nowadays. We allow society to make us be quiet because we don't want to be labeled a Jesus freak. We want God to not be angry with us. We want deliverance from our sins. We want to go to heaven, but we want to kind of sneak in the back door. We don't want to be up on the stage. We want to be like RJ. We want our Holy Ghost certificate, but we don't want everybody's eyes on us. So we want to get it looked like this, like this. But Paul wrote to the church at Rome. He said, "I am not ashamed of the good news of Jesus Christ." I'm not ashamed of it. Why would he not be ashamed? He was beaten. He was stoned. He was imprisoned. He was hated. They tried to kill him. And he said, I'm not ashamed of the good news of Jesus Christ. And I'll stand here before this morning and say, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ either. For the same reason, for it is the power of God unto salvation. The only thing that I can take out of this world that I didn't bring into this world is that Holy Ghost, that power of God that he's put down inside of me. And one of these days, there's going to be a trumpet sound and I'm heading out of here because of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. So I am not ashamed to tell you I'm a Christian. Yes, I'm that guy. I'm the guy at work that wants you to know I'm a Christian. I don't carry my Bible around and beat it and preach people into hell, but I live a life that shows that I'm separated from this world. I came out from the world and made myself separate, and I touched not the unclean thing, that on that day he can say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. All right. Say, Brother Mike, calm down. Get back to Bible study. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. You don't got to be born into this. You don't have to be from Kentucky like I am. God is not white and has a crew cut and plays a banjo. This is for every culture. This is for every race. This is for every nationality. It's for the old. It's for the young. It's for the rich. It's for the poor. Let me burst your bubble. It's for the conservative. It's for the liberal. It's for the Republican. It's for the Democrat. It's for all of us. It's for the American. It's for the foreigner. It's for those that labor among us. It's for the alien. It's for everybody. It is the salvation of God to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first, and then also to the Greek. Who in here is a Jew? Here's good news. It's for you too. It's for everybody. It's good news, and we should not be ashamed of it. There's two components to salvation. There's two. Does anyone know what they are? Turn with me to Ephesians 2 and 8. Apostolics have a hard time sometimes preaching this because we get nervous when we say these words. For by grace are you saved. You know what grace is? It's unmerited favor. It's not something you can earn. It's given to you. You don't deserve it. If we got what we deserved, if every one of us got what we deserve, we've already realized that we all sinned. And we realize that when we did, God is angry with us every day. And if we got what we deserve from a just God, everyone under the sound of my voice today would already be in the ground awaiting to hear the next word spoken from an angry God. But because of his grace, because of his unmerited favor, we are saved by grace through faith. And that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God. How many of you expect your children or your grandchildren, when you give them a gift, you expect them to say thank you? How many of you today look towards your heavenly Father and said, oh God, thank you for the gift. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, because I was born a sinner and I sinned. And when you were angry with me, I said, God, I'm sorry. And it was the gift of God, his grace, his unmerited favor, not anything I earned because I was low down and no good. But when I was unlovable, the Bible says that he still loved me and gave me salvation because I'm saved by grace through faith. And so are you. If you know that to be true, why don't you give him a hand clap and show him that you're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Turn with me to the most familiar, probably the most familiar verse in the Bible. John 3:16. Anybody like football? All right, I'm going to make a joke. And I had everybody on my side. I had the whole church on my side. I was doing so good. And I'm going to lose 80% of you. And I ain't going to say anything about what the scripture said. I'm just going to make a joke. Who in here is a Browns fan? All right, you're all going to hate me in about 5 seconds. The reason you don't know this scripture is because if you watch sporting events, if you watch the World Cup, if you watch NFL football, if you watch basketball, anything pro, if you love sports like I do, when they kick the extra point, they'll focus with the cameras behind the kicker pointing into the end zone. In almost every major sporting event you go to, you'll see a guy holding a sheet or some huge sign in the end zone area. They buy tickets and they'll say John 3:16. You see it as the field goal is going through. Whether you're paying attention or not, you see John 3:16. That's the scripture we're going to read next. The reason Browns fans don't know this scripture is they never score any points. So you never get to see the end zone. The whole camera angle is right there on the 20-yard line of them getting third and 12 and punting and giving up a touchdown and then getting third and 12 and punting. How many in here hate me now? Don't lie. Don't lie right in church. This is what John 3:16 says. For God so loved the church. For God so loved the saved people. For God so loved those that are apostolic. For God so loved the preacher. For God so loved the saints. It doesn't say any of that. The scripture says, for God so loved the world. He's the very reason for the gospel. The reason God came to earth, robed himself in flesh, and chose to die and be buried and resurrected was for the world. It's for the people that when we walk into stores, we clutch our purse a little bit tighter. It's for the people that when we're sitting in our car at major intersections in cities that have those signs that say we'll work for food and we look the other way and we act like we don't see them. It's for those people that we don't like when they move in next to us because they look different than us or they believe different than us or they talk different than us. That is the very reason that Jesus Christ came to this earth. Because the scripture says, as the scripture says, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever in the world believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Turn with me to Hebrews 11 and 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because he, and that could be she, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. You've got to believe that God is. Not that God was, not that God is going to be. You must believe, let me say it hillbilly way. You've got to believe in the isness of God. God is. God wasn't, and God's not about to be. God is. Before the beginning of time, God. When time is over, God. Right now, God. Because God is. And if you come to God, you have to believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you can find it in your mind and in your spirit to believe that God is, and you can believe that he will reward you, and you diligently seek him, the scripture says you will be rewarded. If you start looking for God, you're going to find him because he's not trying to hide from you. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But we get back now to our scripture text that we started with. Jesus in John chapter 7, he says this. Let's read it again. In the last day of the feast, Jesus stands up and he cries and he says, if any man thirst, if anyone's thirsty, come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me. Remember what I just told you? If you believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Jesus went a little farther and said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said. Why is the scripture so important? Why is the Bible so important? Because here's the truth. There's coming a day, and I believe it's coming very soon, that every person under the sound of my voice, Every soul of Adam's race that has ever been born is going to stand before God, and they are going to give an account of the deeds that they have done in their body. And we are going to be judged on that day. And do you know what they are going to use, what God is going to use to judge us? It's not some far out spiritual thing that we don't know about. The Bible says when we stand before God, the books are going to be opened. And those books are the 66 books that make up this Bible. There's 39 of them in the Old Testament. There's 27 of them in the New Testament. And they're going to open the books, and we are going to be judged, every man and every woman, out of the things written in this book. So if you want to know if God expects you to do it, you've got to open the book. If you want to know if God doesn't want you to do it, you got to find it in the book. You've got to get into the Word of God, because Jesus said, if you believe on me as the Scripture says. You know what that infers to me? It seems to me that one can believe and yet not believe as the Scripture says. Jesus is teaching about the infilling of the Holy Ghost that will come to believers. Yet he acknowledges that it is possible for a person to believe, but not believe as the Scripture has said. We're getting somewhere now. Jesus said, he that believeth on me as the Scripture has said. Now, I'm not going to take you there, but if you go to the book of James, James is Jesus' earthly brother. He's the first pastor of the church in Jerusalem. He's Jesus' earthly brother. He's Mary's son. Jesus had brothers and sisters. The Bible says so. That's what the Scripture says. James' book says that if you believe in one God, you do well. The devil believes and he trembles. Can I say something very plain, but with all the love of God in my heart? Jesus said, he that believes on me as the Scripture hath said. Remember, we're talking about what must I do to be saved, and we're looking at it from a scriptural standpoint. There is more to salvation than simple belief. It's quiet. Jesus said it. Because if believing in God was the key to salvation, now it's part of it, then we would have to agree according to Scripture that the devil is saved. And we all know that he's not. Because the Scripture says the devil believes and he trembles. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. However, just because there is good news does not mean that you are saved. One can own a life preserver and still drown because he doesn't have it on. There's a difference between the gospel and the plan of salvation. The plan by which we are saved is discovered in the book of Acts, where Simon Peter preaches the gospel, which brings the people to this question. And the gospel will always lead people to this question. Some of you this morning have already answered it. Some of you are debating it right now, and some of you, this may be the first time you're ever confronted with this question. But Simon Peter preached the gospel on the day of Pentecost and led the people that were there to this question: what must we do? It's the most important question you'll ever ask. And the answer is the most important answer you'll ever receive. Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and he preached the gospel. He said, this same Jesus that you've taken out and crucified, God hath made both Lord and Christ. He said, that Jesus that you saw that was alive and you sentenced him to death, you took him out and crucified him, you watched him be buried, and you watched him after he rose from the dead. We saw him because he was seen of hundreds of people in his resurrected form. He said, that same Jesus God hath made both Lord and Christ. And the scripture says that when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. They were sorry. They felt conviction. They felt wrong. And they said, what must we do? And I'm going to read it to you. Acts 2, here it is. Then Peter said unto them, Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That, my friends, that right there, this scripture right here, as the scripture has said, this is the plan of salvation. If you remember, just a few moments ago, I was over here telling you, this is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. This, my friends, is the plan of salvation. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. It's for everybody. Remember, Jesus says, he that believes on me, as the scripture says. Listen, it might not necessarily be what grandma said. I know I'm on thin ice. It might not be what grandpa said. It might not be what your aunt or uncle said. It might not be the person that you loved so much in life that took you to Sunday school when you were little. This may be different than what they said. But Jesus never said, he that believeth on me, as grandma said, or what grandpa said. Jesus said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture says. I'm thankful to God for one thing. When I stand before him and judged, he gave me the rules ahead of time. Anybody ever been in court and have attorneys play a little game and switch it on you? There ain't going to be no attorneys. We have the Bible, the basic instructions before leaving earth. They're right there. And the Bible says that when we stand before him, Brother Greg, we are inexcusable. Because we know what the scripture says. And the scripture says to the question, what must we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, half of you. Peter said, repent and be baptized if you're not afraid of water. Peter said, repent and be baptized if you like Brother Mike's jacket. Peter said, repent and be baptized if you can go to a church where the preacher spits every once in a while. Amen. Amen. No, Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Well, I think baptism is a good step of faith. I think baptism is good for your testimony. As the scripture says, baptism doth now save us. If you have not been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ this morning, according to the scripture, you are not saved. But I have good news. There's water right here. What doth hinder you from being saved? Let's keep going. I'm going to go into these individually. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. Well, I'd rather do what Jesus said than what Peter said. I agree with you. From that time forward, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repentance was not new. Paul and Peter didn't come up with something out of the blue. They learned and taught what they had learned from Jesus Christ himself, and Jesus taught. Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Do you know what repentance simply is? Repentance is more than asking for forgiveness. Repentance is you making a U-turn. It's an about face. You come to that acknowledgement of sin that we talked about, and you feel guilt because you know that God is angry with you, and you make a decision at that point. You've walked your life this way, and you come to the acknowledgement that Jesus is not happy with what you're doing, and you make an about face, and you start walking in a different direction. You forsake the lifestyle that you lived up until this point. You've got to stop doing certain things because those things make God unhappy. What things are those? What the scripture says. Don't take Brother Mike's word for it. Don't take the preacher on YouTube's word for it. Dive into the scripture and you will learn what God requires of his saints. And when you realize that you're doing something you shouldn't do, or you're not doing something that you should do, Jesus said, repent of that because the kingdom of God is at hand. How many of you believe that we are living in the last days? How many believe God is about to come back? Then why on earth would we not be repenting every single day? I'm talking about the church. I'm talking about people that have obeyed the plan of salvation. The Apostle Paul wrote, I die daily. He repented every day. People say, do I need the Holy Ghost to go to heaven? You need the Holy Ghost to go to Drug Mart. You need the Holy Ghost to go to Lake Erie. Because you're going to have to ask God to anoint your eyes. I'll be honest with you. I'll give you a little sad bit, and then we're almost done. And I'm way ahead of schedule. I'm getting better at getting fast, and all the church can say amen. I knew that would be a good one. You hurt my feelings. You know what I heard this morning? Colton came to church with Sister Darlene, and like a lot of young boys, I don't know if this is the reason he did it, but at the beginning of summer, he shaved his head completely like me. I thought he was doing it to look like me. But it's now starting to grow back in, and some of the people said something about it. And I said, well, they're like, young boys shouldn't do that. And I said, why not? And it says, because it looks like they have cancer. And I was like, hello, I'm standing right here. And they're like, well, it's different when old guys do it. I was in such a good mood. Mean people say mean things. Thank you. Repentance. Why don't we repent? I feel something in the spirit right here, and I'm going to talk about it for a couple minutes. Why don't we repent? I'm going to tell you why we don't repent. I'm going to answer it for you. I'm going to take you off the hook. The reason church people refuse to repent is one of the seven deadly sins. Are you ready for it? It's pride. Because here's what happens in services just like this. A preacher gets up and preaches. You've been in church for 60 years. You've had the Holy Ghost longer than I've been alive. You've forgotten more about church than I've already learned. You've been in powerful services. You've seen the mighty moves of God. And you come into a service like this, and God convicts you of some things in your life. You feel it. Your heart is pricked. You know that there's some things. I'm not calling you a downright sinner. I'm not saying you're running around on your husband. I'm not saying that you stole out of the offering plate. Don't misjudge my words and don't turn me off because I'm in the vein of the Holy Ghost. You come into these services and the Spirit of God is trying to refine you because He knows that the time is short, and the Bible says He's not willing that any would perish, but that all would come unto repentance. So you sit there and God begins to move upon your spirit and says, I'm here to forgive you. I love you, but you and I aren't in the best of mood. But I love my wife and my wife loves me. But there's times stuff happens and there's a split in our communion. We have an argument. We get into a fight. I say something that maybe I shouldn't have said, or I don't say something that I should have said, and I can feel it. I know it. I'm not ignorant. I know the reality of the relationship. You feel the same thing when you come into the house of God, but here's what we do. We convince ourselves, I can't go up to the front and ask for forgiveness because if I go up there, everybody's going to judge me and they're going to know I sinned. Who cares? That's why it says pride or a haughty spirit goes before destruction. And the devil knows it. So he comes and sits. As soon as you feel that convicting spirit, you feel it. You feel it on the back of your neck. You're like, I'm going to go talk to God. And immediately the devil sits there and is like, they're coming to pick you up here in about 15 minutes. You can't be going up to the front. You got plans after church. Plus, look around this place. You're living better than her. She can't even quit playing on her phone during church. And that's what we do. And we rest the scripture to our own destruction. Can I tell you probably what I feel is the most important thing the church needs to do now more than ever? It's repent. 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 Come back to the altar. The Bible says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The reason we crawl off the altar of repentance is because it's hard. Because in the Bible, when they sacrifice, they killed the sacrifice before they put it on the offer. We are called to be a living sacrifice. It's hard sometimes to live for God because sometimes you have to say, you know what? I'm the one standing in the need of prayer. It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord. I have sinned. I'm the one that's wrong. I'm the one that's guilty. God, forgive me. And the Bible says that He's not willing that any of us would perish, but that all would come to repentance. So the scripture says everybody repents. Turn with me quickly. Acts 17 and 30. It says, in the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Now, who read that and said, well, I'm not a man? Listen, I'm going to say this, and all the older time people are going to get mad at me. I'm not saying it in the way that you mean it. This scripture is gender neutral. God commands all human beings everywhere, every nation, every tongue, every nationality to repent. But Peter said, repent and be baptized. Baptism comes from the Greek word baptizo, which is from the industry of cloth or textiles, and it means to dye a liquid. What they would do in Bible times is they would take a piece of fabric, and if it was white like my handkerchief, and they wanted to make it indigo or blue, they would have blue dye, and they would baptize this garment, which means there would be a ball or a barrel or a container of liquid, and they would immerse this and pull it out. The Greek word is baptizo. It's where we get the thought of baptism. Every scripture in the Bible, as the scripture says, that talks about baptism, it was done one way. The name of Jesus was invoked over the person being baptized, and they were immersed in water. Sprinkling does not get it done. Why? Because baptism is the spiritual equivalent of the gospel plan of salvation. The death is repentance. The burial is baptism. How many of you would pay the people that you pay when your loved one dies and you take them to the cemetery to be buried if they layered the casket down into the ground and they took a sprinkling of dirt and put it on there and said, we're done? Would you agree that they were buried? No. Baptism in Scripture, as the Scripture said, not according to tradition, not according to man, baptism in Scripture was always done by immersion. Let's read some. Acts 10, 44 through 48. You're going to see these repeat a couple times. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision, the Jews which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water, that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? What we're reading here is Peter goes to preach to a house full of Gentiles, and the Holy Ghost falls on this group of Gentiles, and they receive the Holy Ghost because the Jews heard them speak with tongues and received the Holy Ghost just like they had received. And as soon as they're done speaking in tongues, Peter says, we need to take them and get them baptized. Baptizo, immersion in water in the name of Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Acts chapter 19. We'll start reading at verse 1. It came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, say students, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? These are believers, these are not heathens. And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard as whether there be any Holy Ghost. Verse 3. And he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. John who? John the Baptist. That's why he was called the Baptist, because he baptized. It's not his denomination. They called him the Baptist because he baptized people. Paul finds a group of his believers, about 12 men, and he says, did you get the Holy Ghost? They said, we never even heard of a Holy Ghost. He said, then how were you baptized? They said, unto John's baptism. This is how I can show you that the Scripture says that it matters how you're baptized. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. Remember, Jesus said, he that believeth on me, as the Scripture says. Verse 5, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let me tell you what your response this morning needs to be. Brother Mike, I was raised in a different denomination, and I was baptized when I was a youth, and I was baptized in the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I'm here to tell you, congratulations. Thank God for your baptism. However, you now need to believe on him that is here to come after. John verily baptized unto repentance, saying, believe on him that's about to come after, even Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ said, he that believes on me, as the Scripture said. And the Scripture says, every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Here's the gospel of your salvation this morning. Here's the good news. I have a pair of waiters in the basement of this church, and I will have gentlemen before they leave. I'll make Brother Dan do it on his birthday. We can take the lid off of this baptismal, and you can leave this building this morning saved and on your way to heaven by simply obeying what the Scripture says. Well, Grandpa, can I tell you something? Can I be honest with you? I got about 4 scriptures left, and I'm still ahead of this. I loved my grandfather with everything in me. I'm talking about my mom's dad. Robert Heinball was his name. He was a one-eyed coal miner. He used to take me fishing all the time when he was little, and I loved him. He died. He had one of his lungs removed because he smoked cigarettes, and then he had half of his other lung removed, and then his lung couldn't compensate for the rest of his body, and he died. Before he died, he got acknowledgement, awareness of his sin. He realized that the life that he had lived was not pleasing to God, and he started trying to live for God. He would come to church with my grandma, As a matter of fact, I believe we baptized him, but he did not receive the Holy Ghost. And he died. And he was my buddy. I used to walk in the house, and he would say, because I'd preach to him. I'd preach to him when I was 4 years old. I'd run up and sit on his lap. I'd say, Grandpa, I love you. Grandpa, I love you. He'd say, I love you too. And then I'd say, you're going to hell for smoking them cigarettes. And he'd say, I know. I'm trying, Butch. I'm trying. I'd say, I still love you. He never fully got victory. One of the things that bothered me the most as I came back to God as an adult, when I would go to the altar to seek the Holy Ghost, I went every service. I'm old school when I talk about faithfulness. I'm not miss service whenever you want. I'm not go to the lake, miss service. And when we had church, whether it was Bible study, song fest, testimonial, I went to the altar at the end of that service and I sought the Holy Ghost and I wore the saints of God out. They hated when I came to church. They're like, we're going to be here for 5 hours because this idiot's going to go up there and beat on the altar and cry and snot all over the place. I wanted the Holy Ghost. And when I would start to seek the Lord, the devil would come into my mind and he would put this vision in my mind. It would be a picture of my grandfather's face with flames. I had to make a decision. I had to be a man. I had to decide that I believed what the scripture said. And even though the acknowledgement of me knowing that my grandfather, who I loved with everything in me, didn't make it, I still had to go on. I know how I teach and I know how I preach and I know how it gets to places, because you get to a place, people are on your side, but then sometimes tradition dies hard. And you get to a place and you show somebody in the scripture and they say, I see it, but. Paul, passing through the upper coast of Ephesus, finds 12 disciples. And he says, how were you baptized? They say, unto John's baptism. He says, yeah, but John baptized you under repentance. It was good for the time, but there's now a better way. And you need to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And the Bible says that they immediately chose to be baptized. It's time this morning for some people to say, you know what? I'm going to obey what the scripture says. Now we're to the last part. The final part of one's salvation experience is the promised infilling of the Holy Ghost. Turn with me to Joel chapter 2. I'm going to skip Acts chapter 8, Brother Carl. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out of my spirit. This is hundreds of years before the day of Pentecost. The prophet Joel prophesies that in the last day, God's pouring out of his spirit upon all flesh. John chapter 7 again is talking where Jesus says, believe on me as the scripture has said. Turn with me to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 16 says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Verse 18, and I will not leave you comfortless, but I will come unto you. This is the very response that people need to do this morning. It's time for the church to obey the scripture. Can I read something to you and then I'm almost done? I have a couple more scriptures. In scriptural history, the Holy Ghost always, every single time in scripture, came with the initial evidence of speaking in other tongues. At no time in the experience of the early church is anyone shown receiving the Holy Ghost without there being a physical manifestation. You can't find it. Listen to me. If you have come up in a church to the altar and said a sinner's prayer, I want you to hear this from me. Congratulations. I'm proud of you, and I mean that with everything in me. That is a good first step in your acknowledgement of needing salvation, but it is not the end, because the scripture says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And according to the scripture, as the scripture says, every incident in scripture of the early church where someone received the Holy Ghost, there is scriptural proof of a physical manifestation or an outward showing that others that were standing around knew that they had received the Holy Ghost. The book of Corinthians goes a step farther and says it this way: the manifestation of the Spirit, the outward demonstration of the Holy Ghost, is given to every man to profit withal. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you will speak in other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. And when you do that, you are now saved. Salvation consists of many things. One, I was saved from sin. I am experiencing salvation through the ongoing process of sanctification. I haven't made it yet, and neither have any of us. And I shall be saved from eternal death and damnation. It's a step-by-step process. I am saved from my sins. I am being saved every day of my life through sanctification. Listen, if you live for God for 2 years, on the second anniversary, you should be closer to God than the day that you got saved. We should grow in this thing. We should mature in this thing. And ultimately, one day, we're going to be saved when we hear these words from Jesus: well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Now I'm going to make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. That's what we're striving for. But to get there, we have to do it as the scripture hath said. So I'm going to challenge you this morning. If you heard anything in this message this morning that you have not done, and it wasn't in Brother Mike's adding in and telling stories, but it was chapter and verse, as the scripture has said, I'm going to challenge you to obey the scripture this morning. If you've acknowledged your sin and you've acknowledged that Jesus, God, is angry with you every day that you live in that sin, and he's not willing that you perish but you come to repentance, I'm going to ask you right now to come to the front of this church and repent of your sins. This is exactly what the church needs. Don't judge them. Don't look cross-eyed at them, because every one of us should be up here. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I didn't live perfect this week. What'd you do, Pastor Mike? Let me tell you something. I have shortcomings. I kind of felt bad after I made fun of Amber playing on her phone. Lord said, you shouldn't have done that. And I was like, well, you know, I ain't perfect. I've had words with some people. I got some real estate deals that are going south, and I kind of get aggravated, and I do some things. When I look out over the crowd, and there's not the attendance that I think should be here, I kind of get agitated a little bit. I'm human. I'm flesh. I battle it every day. You know how I battle it? I don't battle it by justifying it. I battle it by falling on my face before God and saying, God, you've been too good to me. Don't let me fall this close to home. Now, these people that are repenting, God's going to forgive them, because the Bible said he is just to forgive us. You do not have to leave this place the same way you walked in. There is forgiveness forever. God takes our sin, and the Bible says he casts it into the depths of the sea, never to be remembered no more. And what we do is we rise to walk in newness of life. I expect with everything in me, I'm speaking faith to you this morning, that some of our brothers and sisters right here are going to arise from a repentant state and say, I need to be baptized in that name of Jesus Christ. And what we're going to do today is we're going to take the lid off of that baptismal tank and we are going to baptize them. We are going to immerse them, invoking the name of Jesus Christ over their lives. And every sin they've committed is going to be left in that water. And they're going to rise a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And I believe that some of them are going to rise from that watery grave and God is going to fill them with the Holy Ghost according to the scripture, and we're going to watch people speak in other tongues in this place and magnify God. If you want to be a part of that, I want everyone here to come to the front of this church. If you don't need to repent, I want you to pray with somebody that is repenting. I want us to have a move of God in this place this morning according to the scripture. Thank you for those that have responded. Thank you for those that have responded to the word of God as the scripture has said. God hears every word that you're saying. God hears every prayer that you're praying. He sees every tear that you're crying. He hears every thought in your mind right now. He's that feeling that you feel going up and down your spine. He's the feeling in the back of your neck, the hair standing up. The goosebumps that you have right now, that is Jesus Christ. He's hearing your prayer. He's forgiving you of your sins. He's not willing that any would perish, but that all come to repentance. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for your move. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, you've been good to us. God, you've been so good. Move in this place, Lord Jesus. Hear the cry that is made in your house this morning, Jesus. Yes, Lord God. Yes, Lord God, minister, God. Let your power move, Lord. Let your spirit saturate this altar, Jesus. Hear each cry, Lord Jesus. Bless our brothers and our sisters, Lord. Bless us as a family of God, Lord, as we cry out. We love you, Lord. We're thankful to you, God. We're sorry for the way that we've lived. God, we acknowledge our sin before you, Lord. We acknowledge the gospel, the good news that you came and you died and you were buried and resurrected. And Lord, we're obeying the plan that you gave to Peter. You said, whatsoever you shall bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And as he stood up and gave that plan, Lord, we're giving you honor. We're obeying you. We're giving you glory this morning for who you are. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your forgiveness, God. Thank you, God, for your healing power, Lord, your saving power that cleanses us from all of our sins and wickedness in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Take your time and talk to the Lord. That's what this is all about. That's exactly why he came. The song says that while he was on the cross, you were on his mind. He came and died specifically so that you might be saved. He knew you would be here this morning, and he gave me a message. I wasn't going to preach this. I was going to talk about a halfway point and give a synopsis of where we stand as a church. But God said, I want you to tell them what they need to do to be saved. There's going to be souls there that need to hear this, as the scripture has said. Show them my word, not your word, Mike. Preach what I've given you, not what you want to preach, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for the obedience of our brothers and sisters. Appreciate you this day, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. God, you're good. You're good all the time, Lord. I'm thankful this day. Jesus, I'm in all of your presence. God, what you do, do quickly, Lord. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Just like the book of Acts, God, we just desire to see a move of your spirit, Lord. God, let the Holy Ghost be poured out in this place. Let forgiveness saturate this sanctuary, Lord. Help us, God, to realize that we need to repent, Jesus, and ask you for forgiveness, Lord, that we can be pleasing in your sight and not our own. Lord, lay baptism upon the hearts of those that have not been washed clean of their sins. Lord, help us as we desire, Lord Jesus, to obey as the scripture hath said. We want to believe as the scripture hath said, Jesus. The word that you've given us, Lord, that you've magnified even above your name. God, we appreciate that we know it, Lord, that you've allowed it to be spoken this day, and that we have the honor and the ability, Lord, to obey it in your house. Thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing. You're so good.
God, you're good. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. I appreciate everyone's response. Thank you. It's become almost my saying for this church. I post it on social media all the time. And I want you to hear it from my lips. And I'm saying it directly to you. I'd say every one of your names individually, but I'll say it as a group. This building where you are this morning, this place where you're either standing or sitting this morning. I call it PCC Ashtabula, stands for Pentecostal Community Church Ashtabula. I want you to know this. There's a place for you here. This is your home if you want it to be. There's not a perfect person in this place. This church is full of imperfect people, but it's the perfect church for imperfect people. And there's a place for you here. If it's your first visit, thank you for being here. You've just found a home if you want it. If you've been here for several years, thank you for your faithfulness to God. We're trying to get somewhere, and that place is heaven. And this is the mode, this is the vehicle that God has chosen to help us get there. And if we'll follow His directions, as the Scripture has said, one of these days, soon and very soon, we are going to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," and we're going to make heaven our home. And I'm excited to do that. Is there anybody here? I'd be remiss if I didn't ask. Is there anybody here that would like to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ this morning by a showing of hands? I can take the lid off right now. And I want to take the lid off right now. I want someone to decide today, you know what? The Scripture's been preached, and I want to make heaven my home. I want to be baptized. I'm not going to force you. I don't want you to feel obligated. I don't want you to feel any pressure at all. But I want you to know from the pastor's voice himself that if there's anybody, and I mean that, that wants to be baptized today, let me know. If you would rather wait till we dismiss and grab me privately till all these scary looking people are outside, we can do that as well. The main thing is that you respond as the Scripture said. You have no idea what you've done in heaven this morning. The Bible says this, and this is what we're going to close on. The Bible says there is more joy in heaven over one sinner who comes unto repentance than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. We don't see it down here because it's kind of quiet and it's kind of laid back and we're ready to go home and start making something for Link Group. But if you could get a spiritual look into heaven today, the angels are dancing. Oh, we've caused an uproar in heaven. Jesus is trying to calm them down. He's like, calm it down. They're making noise like they've never made before because the Bible says in heaven there's more joy over one sinner, not an altar full. We lit heaven on fire. Jesus is excited. The angels are excited because God knows that He's getting a church ready and it's going to look so beautiful one of these days. There's not going to be wrinkle. There's not going to be blemish. There's not going to be spot or any such thing, and it's going to look so good that He's going to finally look over and say, Gabriel, go get the trumpet and sound the horn. I'm going back to get my bride. And we all get to be a part of that because we've obeyed the plan of salvation. Thank you, God, this morning. Why don't we do that this morning for about 10 seconds? Why don't we give God a high praise in the house? Why don't we raise our voice, clap our hands, holler a hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for what He has done. He has visited us once again. He is still on the throne and still in control. All right, I'm going to do something that's stupid. What? Brother Greg, somebody baptize him with something. I'm going to sing you a song, and you're not going to know it, and it's not slow. And I'm not used to ever singing a song without any music, but I'm going to sing it a cappella. This is an old hillbilly song. And the reason I'm going to sing it is because I'm an old hillbilly. And if you are embarrassed of hillbillies, that's your fault. Because there's only two kinds of people in this world. That's hillbillies and those that want to be. So if you're not a hillbilly, why are you hanging around us? Because you're one of those wannabes. This is an old hill. I think the Booth brothers sang this song. But it's my sentiments exactly. As they were praying and I was looking down at a full altar, this song came to my heart. You're not going to know it, but it's not real complex. It says this. Well, God is good. Yes, he is. He's good all the time. God is good. You know he is. He's good all the time. Now, you could search the whole world over, but no greater friend you'll find. He's not good just once in a while. He's good all the time. Go ahead and clap your hands. Oh, God is good. Yes, he is. He's good all the time. God is good. You know he is. He's good all the time. You can search the whole world over, but no greater friend you'll find. He's not good just once in a while. He's good all the time. Now we've all had friends who've let us down. You know what I'm talking about. At the very first sign of trouble, they're nowhere to be found. But Jesus stays while others go. He'll never leave your side. He's your friend in stormy weather, 'cause he's good all the time. My God is good. Oh, yes, he is. He's good all the time. God is good. You know he is. He's good all the time. You can search the whole world over, but no greater friend you'll find. He's not good just once in a while. He's good all the time. He's the one you call in the middle of the night when your body moans with pain. Hey, don't worry about that wayward child, 'cause he's heard you call his name. And he'll put food in your kitchen when you don't have a dime. He's not good just now and then. No, he's good all the time. Ah, God is good. Oh, yes, he is. He's good all the time. My God is good, and you know he is. He's good all the time. You can search the whole world over. There's no greater friend you'll find. He's not good just once in a while. He's good all the time. He's the one you call in the middle of the night when your body moans in pain. Hey, don't worry about your wayward child, 'cause he's heard you call his name. He can put food in your kitchen when you don't have a dime. God's not good just now and then. He's good all the time. My God is good. Sing with me. Yes, he is. He's good all the time. God is good. You know he is. He's good all the time. You can search the whole world over. There's no greater friend you'll find. He's not good just once in a while. He's good all the time. If you mean it, sing it. God is good. Oh, yes, he is. He's good all the time. My God is good. You know he is. He's good all the time. You can search the whole world over. There's no greater friend you'll find. He's not good just once in a while. He's good all the time. Give him some praise in his house this morning. He's good all the time. God is always worthy of praise. God is always on the throne. God is always ready to save. God is is always ready to heal. He just wants to know if we love Him. Do we love Him this morning? Is He good enough? Has He been good to you? And why don't you shout unto the Lord with the voice of triumph? Hallelujah! The highest praise that you can give our God is hallelujah! Shout to the Lord! Stomp your feet, clap your hands, all ye people! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Listen. Go ahead. Worship the Lord. I ain't worried about it. Let God have some praise. If He'd done anything for you, you'd give Him high praise. You guys better get ready. Because if I ever get comfortable in this church, I'm going to cut a shine in this place like you ain't never seen. I'm old school church. Listen, I believe you should leave church and look like you went through a tornado. I'm begging for the day that I get to call Pastor Ardary and say, hey, we got to buy a new vacuum cleaner. Why? Because we sucked up a whole bunch of bobby pins from the women going crazy during the altar service, shaking them out of their head. I'm old school. You know why we wore jackets to church? It wasn't just because we wanted to sweat to death because it's hotter than Hades in here. It's because when women got slain in the spirit, we believed in modesty. So the men would take their jackets off and the women would be all laid out on the floor and you just let them be laid out. You just take your jacket, lay it down over their legs so some of the other men that hadn't repented yet were in the back looking. You just lay it over them and say, go ahead, sister, go ahead. God's going to do something in this place. And He's going to do it with this people. And we are going to see a mighty move of the Holy Ghost in Ashtabula, Ohio. We don't need revival to come from across the seas. We don't need our testimonies to come from foreign lands. Our sons and our daughters are going to be filled with the Holy Ghost in this place. And our old men are going to see dreams. And our young men are going to have visions. And we're going to prophesy. And we're going to prophesy. And the Spirit of the Lord is going to move in this place. All right. Thank you. That's the kind of church I like. Let me tell you something. It's good for her just like it's good for RJ. It's good for the old. It's good for the young. I could sing another song, but I don't want to sing no more. If this ain't the Holy Ghost, I don't know, because it just suits me. This ain't the Holy Ghost, I don't know. It's good for the old. It's good for the young. It just suits me. God's trying to do something. The man of God, Jehu, he pulled into the city. And it had been prophesied to him that the dogs were going to eat Jezebel's flesh. And Jehu pulled into the city. And the Bible says that Jezebel went and she painted her face. And she looked out the window and she said, is it peace? And he looked up to the window and he said, who is on the Lord's side? Who? And the Bible says it looked out to him two or three eunuchs. That's men that couldn't have anything to do with women. They would castrate them so that they could watch the women because there would be nothing that they could do to them. They were useless. According to Scripture, they weren't even allowed to come into the house of God because they were injured in their private parts. This is an adult class. And Jehu looked up and he said, who is on the Lord's side? Who? And the only ones that looked out were those two or three eunuchs. And he said, throw that woman down out of here. And they grabbed Jezebel and they threw her out the window. She smacked the wall on the way down and she was eaten by the dogs. That's a horrible story to close up Sunday school with, and that's not what I'm talking about. I'm asking this church right now, who is on the Lord's side? Who wants to see it in this place? Who wants to quit watching YouTube for our miracles? Who wants to see God move on Shepherd Road in Ashtabula County, Ohio? Who is on the Lord's side? Then let's get behind it. Let's magnify God. Let's give Him praise. Let's show up. Let's be faithful. And we're going to see a mighty move of God. I'm going home to eat tortelloni salad. So if the bowl's a little less full when you get to Jefferson, Just leave me alone. I'm an old man that it looks like I have cancer. I need my tortelloni salad. I want to say this and we'll be dismissed. I love every one of you. And I mean it with everything in me. My wife and I talk about this. We did it. Yeah, we spent the whole day together yesterday. And I don't know how you feel, but we drove up and down the roads of Ashtabula, Ohio. I'm not from here. I still don't know my way around. We went down to drive through the harbor to get donuts for breakfast, and it was closed because it was the Beach Glass Festival. And we got turned onto a road that we weren't familiar with. And Katie said, do you want me to set the GPS? I said, nope, I'll figure it out. Well, I lied because we drove around Ashtabula for a while, and I'll say probably 15 times throughout the day yesterday. I looked over at her, and I said, can you believe it? She said, what? I said, look at this place. This is where we get to live. We drove down along the lake. I looked out. Beautiful. I've never seen anything more beautiful. I'm trying to take pictures with my phone. I'm almost wrecking the car. My sister-in-law came up. We went to Conneaut for dinner. My brother. They're like, let's go down by the lake. I said, good. We went to this place called Smoke on the Water. I highly suggest you go. Good grief. I gluttonized myself. I ate way more than I needed to, and I didn't feel one need to repent. Maybe I should. On the ride home, we were driving by. I said, you realize we get to live here? God's about to do something. We don't need no outside help. We are well able to take the land. We've got everything we need inside this building right now. All we've got to do is get in line and say, whatever thus saith the word of the Lord. Jehoshaphat stood before a mighty army. And God said, you're not even going to need to fight in this battle. I want you to appoint some singers. I want you to appoint some musicians. And I want you to praise the beauty of holiness. And the singers went out and the enemy killed themselves. I'm here to tell you, if we'll stand up right now as families, as individuals, and as a church of God, God is going to destroy our enemies, and we are going to have a mighty victory in this place, and I want you all to be a part of it. If you can, and it's possible, put together a food item, a dessert, something, go to Link Group tonight. If you're not going to Link Group, I completely understand. I'm on your side. You have my support. If you can go, go. You'll have a great time. In the meantime, come Tuesday. We have prayer and Bible study. It's a little more, less, I don't spit as much. I do, shut up. We're studying what you do once you're saved. What is it like? How do you live for God? We're talking about some spiritual disciplines, about prayer and reading the scripture and faithfulness and giving and attendance. You'll enjoy it. Come out. We have prayer at 5. We have Bible study at 6. You're all welcome to that as well. And keep in mind, everybody say this with me, next Sunday, full house, full pavilion. Let's crowd Lake Erie. Let's have a pavilion full. Let's let them see the love of God in action. Bring everybody you can think of and bring them to the house of God next Sunday. Amen? Let's be dismissed in a word of prayer. Jesus, God, we thank you this day for your spirit. Lord, we're thankful for your move, God, the word. For those that have responded this morning in Jesus' name, God, we ask you to continue to minister unto them. Lord, we're just appreciative, Lord, and we want to believe on you as the scripture has said, Lord. Help us to lead and guide our family and friends here next week. Bring us back into this place at the next appointed time with a praise on our lips and love in our hearts for one another and especially for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Thank you. You're dismissed at this time. Have a great day.